Now for today's meditation, we are going to look at the fourth stanza of Psalm 119, that is, verses 25 through 32. Now let me read these verses to you, first of all, beginning to read at verse 25. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Remove from me the way of lying. Grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord. Put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. May the Lord bless to us the reading of these verses. And again, I remind you who are daily listeners, surely even by now, you've come to realize that in this wonderful 119th Psalm, the psalmist is expressing some of the surpassing excellence of the divine law. Now, no matter what the circumstances may be in life, there is always a place for the Word of God. If we're in prosperity, we can study His Word and give thanks. If we're in adversity, we can look to His Word and get comfort. If we're facing distressing circumstances and we don't know which way to turn, we can come to the Word of God and get direction. Now here in this particular stanza, we find that the psalmist here is faced with an unexpected situation. It seems that he's down in the depths of despair. If you like, he's in a state of soul depression. May I ask my listeners today, my friend, have you ever been in the depths of despair? Have you ever had any circumstance in life that you felt there was no way out? Have you ever been in a state of soul depression? It's a very real thing, you know. You read through the Bible and you find lots of people who get into a state of depression. Here the psalmist is in that state of soul depression. And he's crying to the Lord for the quickening power of the Word to be administered unto him. Something, of course, must have gone wrong. The psalmist was faced with God's challenge to his heart. His outlook on life has been changed. He has witnessed the example of those who walked in the way of the Lord, and he is determined to conduct his life in a God-honoring manner by seeking assistance from God and giving attention to the principles of God's revelation. But while his intention is good, and he desires to rise to higher ground, he discovers that he is being held in the place of sorrow and mourning, and his soul cleaveth unto the dust. That's what he says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Now, if his soul is cleaving to the dust, is the psalmist in the place of spiritual defeat? Has he learned that himself he doesn't have power to rise to any spiritual heights? Like a good scholar, he has learned all the theory. He knows how the engine works, and he understands the principle of propulsion. But when he takes the driver's seat and turns the key, there's no response. And in sad disappointment, he discovers he cannot move forward. There is some hindrance that is holding him back. and he cries out in desperation, "Quicken thou me according to thy word." Living the life that pleases God is more than signing a card or responding to a public invitation. It means living daily in the energy of the Holy Spirit in accordance with the revelation of God's word. It has been the experience of godly people in every age that when they would do good, then evil is present with them. And when they fail to rise to the heights of their spiritual ambition, they are inclined to fall into the depths of despair. And like the apostle, they cry out, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of sin?" Or like the psalmist, they exclaim, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word." This is the divine answer to the problem of spiritual weakness, and the psalmist prayed for the right thing. It may be, of course, that some of my listeners today have found themselves in that predicament. You've found yourself down, as it were, in the valley of despair. You've felt that everything has gone against you. And like the psalmist, you're saying, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust. When I would do good, evil is present with me. I don't know how to get out of it. I don't know what to do. But oh, if you'd only quicken me, give me the life that comes according to thy word." Now, open confession is good for the soul. Nothing brings more ease and more life to a man than frank acknowledgement of the evil which has caused the sorrow and the lethargy in his soul. Such a declaration proves that the man knows his own condition and is no longer blinded by pride. He has searched his ways. He has investigated them in detail and laid them out before the Lord. Not, of course, to inform God about them, because God already knew them, but in order to know them himself and declare them in the presence of God. Then he brings forth a very encouraging statement when he affirms that God heard him when he acknowledged his ways before God. "You see, I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes." It's wonderful for a person to be conscious of this, that when you get into the presence of God and make open confession of these things before God, tell God about your soul depression. Not that he doesn't know, he knows all about it. But when you talk to God about it, he hears you, and he answers your prayers. Answers to prayers in the past should encourage us to come continually to the throne of grace with boldness, to obtain help in our time of need. If the psalmist has confessed his fault, has been heard and forgiven, he has no desire to fall into the same error again, but entreats the Lord, "Teach me thy statutes." Now, if you think of a parent or a mother or a father, the parents take a child who has gone wrong, and they give that little boy perhaps a little bit of instruction, and they tell him where he went wrong. And they tell him what he's to do and what he's not to do. And he says, "Oh, teach me thy statutes. I don't want to injure you. I don't want to go against your heart's desire. Teach me thy statutes. I don't want to make the same mistake again." That's what he's saying here. He's made his mistake. It's brought him down into depression. He comes before God. He acknowledges it. Now he says, "Teach me thy statutes, make me to understand the way of thy precepts." He has no desire to continue in ignorance, but desires to know the holy scriptures and the holy standards of God. Now, in verse 27, the psalmist makes a very pointed appeal when he says, "Make me to understand the way of thy precepts." Many good Christians make it their aim to know and appropriate all the promises of God's Word. Oh, they love those promises. They read one every morning, and they say they claim the promises, while others are interested in unveiling the meaning of all the prophecies. But the psalmist is exercised about understanding the way of God's precepts. Now, my friend, let me ask each of you, do you only go for the promises? Or do you try to understand all the prophecies? Or are you interested in knowing God's precepts and living by them? The psalmist, you see, is anxious to have a deep insight into the practical meaning of the Holy Scriptures. Now, if the teachings of the Word of God don't become practical in our life, I may suggest they mean nothing to us at all. What we read in the Word of God should be put into practice, so that we will properly understand what God requires of us, and be able to keep the precepts in the true spirit, and with an enlightened understanding. Then the psalmist says, I shall talk of thy wondrous works. I think that's wonderful. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. It's a wonderful thing when people can get together and talk of the wonderful and wondrous works of the Lord. It ill becomes us to try and talk about something we do not understand. We require to be taught of God, that we may hope to communicate our knowledge to others, with a hope of profiting them. When the heart has been opened to understanding, then the mouth can be opened to impart knowledge to others, as we talk of the wondrous works of God. The more we know of God's works, the more we admire them, and the more we desire to speak about them. May I ask you, my friend, what do you know about God's wonderful works? How much do you talk about them to others? Heaviness of heart is a killing thing. You ever thought of it? Oh, when a man's heart is heavy. It says, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Do you know what it means to have a heavy heart? May I remind you again that a heavy heart is a killing thing. Put cheers on people. Can draw away the energy of life. And here the psalmist seems to be passing through the furnace of affliction, and his soul was melting because of heaviness. Here is the condition of one who is languishing under the extremity of sorrow. His soul is being buffeted, and he is forced to search his life for the reasons. You see, something has come along. Something is occasioning his defeat. What is it? But in his extreme trouble, he cries again to the Lord, strengthen thou me according unto thy word. There is a principle in God's word, that they who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And the psalmist turns in his trouble to the right source from whence he can draw fresh strength. Now, my friend, let me say this. Maybe my word today is reaching some home and reaching some heart where there is a great measure of weakness. You've grown weak. You need your strength, your spiritual strength to be renewed. Remember, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We all need strength in order to fulfill our given tasks. We need strength to resist temptation. We need strength to bear up under affliction. We need to be restored daily in our strength so that we may not fail. Just as suitable food supplies the need of the physical, so we require the Word of God as the food to sustain the soul and strengthen us in spiritual matters. There is nothing more inconsistent in life than a person who professes to be walking in the way or truth and yet walks in the way of lying. The psalmist is conscious of the possibility that he may be led into such a dishonorable path, which would bring disgrace upon him, and also upon the name of the Lord. And so with some understanding of the contributing causes, he desires fervently for the evil way to be far removed from him. You see what he says here, "My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously." Now, perhaps he has fallen into this already. We know there was a time in David's life when he did. However, the truth came out, and David doesn't want, as it were, again to fall into the way of lying, and neither should any Christian. Then, he wants that way of lying to be removed far from him. He wants to walk in the true way. Then he looks to the gracious law of the Lord and views it not only as something revealed in a book, but something to be engraved upon the heart and carried out in the life. You'll remember we already pointed out in verse 11, where he says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." See, my friend, it's one thing to know God's law as written in the Bible. It's another thing to know it in the mind and having been taught it to be able to repeat it. But we have to have it engraved upon the heart, and then we have to be able to carry it out in the life. No doubt he considered this the only way of deliverance from the power of falsehood. There is an evident opposition between falsehood and the gracious power of God's law. The only way to expel the lie is to accept the truth, that is, the truth of the law of God. If one is afflicted with the disease of lying, then God's remedy is the truth in the inward parts. And if we have the truth in the inward parts, then we'll be kept from lying. We will not have the lying heart or the lying lips. So he says, "Grant me thy law graciously." Now he comes to the next verse, verse 30. He says, "I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me." I wonder how many choices we make in life. If you had to make a choice today, what choice would you make? He says, "I have chosen the way of truth." Now, a man must choose one or the other, because there is no neutral stand. Here is the working of a gracious soul, who has placed all the facts into the balance, and upon mature deliberation arrives at this judgment: "I will have God and His truth, no matter what the cost may be." In every spiritual exercise, we should allow deliberation to precede our resolution. I wonder how often people make mistakes, and perhaps we're all guilty of this. We have run to some conclusion. We have decided on some resolution without giving proper deliberation to it and what the outcome may be. And having made that resolution, willing to carry it out. But now, may I say this? We've not to be carried away on the wave of some emotion. Every person who reaches the years of discretion must face the vital issue regarding the course he shall take in life. Whether he shall take the way of truth and walk with God, or turn his back upon God's truth and take the way of unbelief with the sinful world. The psalmist makes it very plain that there is such a thing as making progress in spiritual understanding and a going on to spiritual maturity. He first of all was fully persuaded that God's way was the right way. Now, I wonder if we have reached that conclusion. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. Now, he did this, as it were, as I have indicated, by putting all the facts in the balance. He spends time deliberating upon these things. Then he comes down with this final judgment. He is fully persuaded that God's way was the right way, and God's truth could be accepted and trusted in every circumstance of life. We've got to test our hearts right here, my friend. Do we accept God's word as the eternal word of the eternal God, that it is right in every detail? And when we accept it, we're accepting the truth. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So therefore the psalmist here comes to this definite conclusion, and he's accepting God's way, which is the right way. Nothing could move him from his firm belief in the reliability of God's revealed truth. But it would appear that he was not making the forward progress that he desired. And so he declares, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Entering the way of truth is very important. But standing in the truth in face of fierce opposition is another matter. But running the way of God's commandments calls for a heart that has been enlarged with love and devotion for God and His truth. See, entering in, one thing, standing in the truth, another, walking in the truth, another, running in the truth, we're making more progress, aren't we? That's exactly what he wants to do. So therefore this man wants the enlarged heart with love and devotion for God and His truth. When a Christian sets his affections on things above and not on things of the earth, there will be little doubt about his running in the way of the divine commandments. There will be a willingness to place all at God's disposal. There will be a boldness to move into the field of duty and a readiness to run with patience the race that is set before us. You see, you can take the principles that are expressed here by the psalmist in Psalm 119, and you find their counterparts in the New Testament that apply to us today. He says in the closing verse of this stanza, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. You know, when you come to the New Testament, you discover Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul the Apostle. At the commencement of his Christian career, the first thing you find him saying is this, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And at the end of his Christian pilgrimage, he writes to his young friend, and he says this, I have fought a good fight. I have run the race. I have kept the faith. You see, he ran the race with patience. He finished the course, and he looked forward to the day when he would receive the crown. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart.